Thanks, guys. Right, I have a table full of things here, and they are all different. Now, Aria is going to help me today, because she told me when we walked into church that she was really, 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 really thirsty, and she needed a drink. But I didn't have time to get her a drink, so I'm going to give her a drink now. So come on up, Aria, and we're going to get you a drink of water. Okay. Do you think, Aria, that if I filled this little bowl of yellow coolness with water, that that would help you not be really, really, really thirsty?
No,
okay, that's not going to work. What about this little egg cup thing? If I filled them all up, do you think that would work?
No.
No, okay, let's have a try of this bowl and see what happens. Do you think that's going to work?
No.
Why not?
Because all the water's coming out.
All the water's coming out, all right, that's not going to work, okay. What about my nice little sign here? Do you think that would work?
No.
No, and I think it might ruin it, so I don't think I'll do that one. What about a big vase? Because you said you were really, really thirsty. If I filled that up, do you think that would work?
No.
It's a bit dirty too. You probably don't want to drink from that. What about my pretty teapot? If I fill that up, do you think you could drink out of the spout?
No.
Oh, this isn't working, is it? What about my big bowl here?
No.
No? Okay, well, the last thing we've got here is a cup. If I fill that up, do you think that's going to work? The water doesn't want to come out very fast. If I fill this up with water, do you think that's going to work? There you go, have a drink, because you were really thirsty. Yeah. Would you like a drink from this one? Thanks, Aria. What do we notice about all of these things? Abby? What do you think? They are all different shapes and sizes. Did they all work to give Aria a drink of water? No, but do you think they've all got different jobs that they have to do? Yeah, they do. All right, Jenny, would you like to come forward and read the book to the kids? The book is about a little meerkat. Jenny didn't want a microphone. No.
Can you project, can you?
Serenity Park, where every animal is happy and content. Well, almost every animal. There is Jack. My neck is too short. Ooh, nice colours. His home is better than mine. He thinks being like other animals will make I want your smile, crocodile. Kids love your pointy chin. If it were mine, they'd stand in line and wait for me to grin. On second thoughts, maybe not. To snorkel, to hug, to sprinkle, to tug, and shower with my spout. Call me picky, trunks are tricky, tentacles are better. Give me your swish, jellyfish. I long to float the seas, I'd dive, I'd play, I'd glide, I'd sway and twirl your dance with ease. Next swish. I'm not a fish. Whoop, splat. Enough of that. I'll skip the splat. Ooh, prickly armor. With spikes so fine, porcupine, no one would mess with me. I'd stand guard, battle hard, and save my family. I'll fight no more. My bottom's sore. Ice, anyone? Polar bear, I'd trade my hair for snuggly warm white fur. I'd slide on my tummy, not dress like a mummy, and never once cry, brrrr. Ditch the drama. Where's my mama? Let's go home. I want you back, Spunky Jack. I wish you understood that God's great heart designed each part and saw that you were good. Created for a purpose, a miracle it's true. Each friend, each child, each meerkat wild is happy you are. I love my smile, crocodile.
Thanks, Jenny. Cute book, huh? So, kids, a couple of questions for you. Jack the meerkat, he had a few problems in the story, didn't he? What were some of his problems, or what was his main big problem? Abby?
He was always grumpy.
Was he grumpy? What do you think? Aria?
He wanted to be like everyone else.
He wanted to be like everyone else? Ollie? He wasn't content with being a meerkat, was he? He thought that everybody else had something better than what he had. But what did he find out in the end? Abby? That's right. Yep, you can't be like everybody else because you're special in your own way. Yeah.
And meerkats are awesome.
And meerkats are awesome. Yep, they weren't made to have crocodile noses, were they? Or smiles, I should say. So when we go back to these things, we discovered that they're all made, but they're not all made to drink from, are they? Did you know that every single one of these items was made from a ball of clay? They all started exactly the same, but when they were shaped into what they are now, they all have a different purpose. This one's great for storing fruit and vegetables, but it's not great for having water out of it. This one's great for looking at, but useless for drinking from. A vase is great for putting wonderful, beautiful flowers in, but it's not ideal for having a drink. You probably could drink from it, but I'd want to clean it really well beforehand. Yeah, so they all started from the same thing, but they all ended up differently, and they all have different jobs. All right, you guys can head back to your seats now. So as Philip said, today's talk is about comparison. So the dictionary defines comparison as a consideration or estimate of the similarities and dissimilarities between two things or people. I think it's an important definition to look at. Comparison is often talked about as a negative thing. If you take Theodore Roosevelt, for example, he was a US president in 1901 and has been widely quoted saying that comparison is the thief of all joy. Doesn't sound like a good thing to me. It sounds like comparison is stealing all of the good stuff. But if we take another look at the definition, it says similarities and dissimilarities. Now, I had to break those words down because they're quite big, and I'm not a wonderful word person. So we'll have a look at it. Dissimilarities means the things that are different, and the similarities are the things that mean the same. So when you're comparing something, you're taking two or more objects and looking at what is the same or different between them. If we look at our things, objects on the table, we can easily make comparisons. The vase is big and the little dish is small. The dish has holes in it, but the mug doesn't. But these things are not necessarily negative, they're just different. So we need to be able to compare to help us choose the right object. The similarity between these things is that they all started out as a piece of clay, and once they were finished, they all served their own special purpose. It's easy to do this with the objects, but we don't only compare this type of thing. We're constantly making comparisons between ourselves and others. In today's world, one that's filled with social media, we get to see glimpses of everyone's perfect world, and it's very easy to make comparisons. But what we need to remember is that more often than not, these glimpses are not perfect, but perfectly staged. If we're going to compare ourselves, then we need to make sure that we're looking at the reality, not the fake stuff. But I don't believe that comparison is all bad. It's just part of life. I think we need to figure out how to use comparison for good. I know that sometimes I might notice a friend who is perhaps more godly than me, or better at exercising, or can create amazing art. And I have a choice. I could notice these things about this person and then grumble that I'm just not as good as her, and do nothing about it. Or, on the other hand, I could notice these things about this person and then praise them for the skills that they have, and then even learn from them. I could see what they do to stay closer to God, or figure out how they put exercise into their already busy schedule. I could ask them for help with something creative that I want to try and do. I have then used that comparison and turned it into good to help me learn how to be a better person. Now, I'm not suggesting that my goal is to become just like everybody else, because that's not what God wants from us. For example, this past weekend gone by, a friend of mine took part in her second Ironman event in Taupo. I think she's amazing and slightly crazy, but I don't want to be like her. I look at her and I celebrate in all of her successes. We watched her, we tracked her, the girls really enjoyed seeing where she was at during the process, but we don't want to go out and do it. Well, I don't want to go out and do it myself. My husband might have different ideas. But it's just not practical or possible for me to do that. I don't want to become her. She's at a different stage in her life. She doesn't have kids. She can fit in the training. And that's what she's really passionate about. But I'm not going to do that. But I could look at how she's squeezed stuff in and learn a little bit from her. And this is where I think the Roosevelt is wrong. He said that comparison is the thief of all joy. But if we are wise in our comparing, then I think it can actually help us to find more joy. But these are just my thoughts. So if we have a look at the Bible, that's usually got some important bits to say. So in Isaiah 64:8, it says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." God made us, each and every one of us, and he made us exactly how he wanted us. I would like to think that the very first comparison was made by Adam in the Garden of Eden. He probably looked at Eve and said, "Oh, she's like me, but she's different." And he was excited to have her around. He knew that God had made her and that God used a part of Adam to create her, but he also knew that she was different. He didn't compare and say, "I was made first, so I'm better," or "You came from me, so I'm better than you." He was just pleased to have someone that he could do life with. It was her differences that made her special. And I like the verses in this next passage, in Isaiah 45:9. It says, "What sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who's shaping it, saying, 'Stop, you're doing it wrong'? Does the pot exclaim, 'How clumsy can you be?'" When I read that passage, I get a picture in my head of this blob of clay with a really angry face getting cross at the potter. But it doesn't happen that way. The clay cannot argue with the potter. It gets created into something beautiful just the way that the potter wanted. If we know that God was the potter and we are the clay, then we know that God created something, us. So can we tell God that he did it wrong? In our conversations, can we sit there and say, "God, you made me wrong. I was meant to have black hair and blue eyes. Or I was meant to be a doctor. Or have 16 kids. Or I was meant to be a world famous actor." No, I don't think you get to do that. Well, we shouldn't do it. We probably do, but we shouldn't do it. God made us perfectly. And if we spend all of our time grumbling that we're not somebody else or not doing something different, then we're not actually fulfilling the purpose that God has for us. Complaining to God about how he made us is just like the clay yelling at the potter. We were not a mistake. God knew exactly what he was doing. But what is that purpose? Well, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know why God's put us all here. We've each got different ones. But if we turn to 1 Peter 4:10, it says that God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So whatever your gifts are, God gave them to you, and he wants you to be using them each and every day. And not for your benefit, but for the benefit of those around you. We're going to take a quick look at the passage in Mark. I'll read it out to you, and then we've got a little video to show you. So it's Mark 12, 41 to 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she has to live on." So Gavin's going to get a video going for us, and then we'll have a chat about what we saw. thought it was quite a good video explaining the passage that I just read. So, we can see from the passage and from the video that the rich people came into the temple and they gave lots of money. But did they do it quietly? No, they made a show. They wanted others to know just what they had done. But the widow came along, and she didn't make a song and a dance about it. She just gave quietly from her heart when nobody was watching her. So Jesus argues that the widow has given the most because the rich have only given from their surplus, meaning that they have not sacrificed anything for God. But the widow indeed sacrificed greatly. She has given even all of her living, suggesting that she may not even now have money for food. Jesus seated himself so he could watch how the crowd were putting their money into the temple treasury. He wasn't so much concerned with what it was that they gave, but how they gave it. Jesus saw the attitude of their soul. He was observing the spirit of their giving. The rich people were giving their leftovers, while the widow gave sacrificially of everything that she had. I imagine that it would have been easy for her to turn around and walk away. She knew that her offering was nothing like the rich people. If I was watching everyone else giving lots of money and I knew that I had a little bit, I would definitely compare myself to them. I might feel insignificant, unworthy, and even embarrassed. But she didn't let all of that stop her. She went right on with her giving. When she gave Jesus everything she had, even though it wasn't worth much in the world, it was worth a lot in God's eyes. She didn't let the others stop her, and we need to do the same. It's not about money today, it's about using our talents and our gifts for God. We need to identify what it is that we are good at and give 100% to God. The woman gave all of her money, everything that she had, so she had no money left. But the rich were the ones who gave their extras. They could still live comfortably, nothing had to change for them. Somehow, we need to stop comparing ourselves to the person who plays the guitar well or is great at talking to new people or is really sporty and remember that God molded you out of clay. There is only one of you. And you are special to God. It's your talents that make you who you are, exactly the way that God wanted. So stop comparing yourself to those around you in a negative way. Those differences are what makes you special. The last verse I have is a really good one to end on. It's a perfect one to remember as we prepare for another week, filled with lots of comparisons. It's in Psalm 139, verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. How cool is it to think that the same God who created the mountains, the oceans, and the galaxies looked at you and thought that the world needed one of you too? So we're going to move into communion now. Could I please have some help with the table from someone? Thanks, gentlemen. Communion is a time to remember what God did for us. He sent his one and only Son to earth to die for you and me. He didn't send Jesus to die just for the people who are musical or just the ones who are sporty or just the ones who are good at spelling or good at numbers. He was sent for all of us, no matter our differences. So I had this all planned, and then I bought a book for Aria, and she hasn't actually read it yet because I read it first. It's written by a Christian author, and she's written a whole bunch of books about this family and how they grow up. And she started the books when the children were in their 30s, so not really children anymore. But very cleverly, she's gone back and she's written a book for kids about the kids when they were 8 to 10, 12-ish years old. So because I've read all of the adult books, I really wanted to go back and see what she thought the kids would be like as kids. It's actually a really good book, so Ari's going to read it next. But as I was reading it on Friday, I couldn't believe how appropriate it was to this. There's just a little bit that I'm going to read out. What's happening in the chapter is that the mum is having a conversation with her daughters. They've had a rough day at school. And so she's talking about how they're comparing themselves to other people. So she says to the daughters, "That's why you have to be confident in who you are, in the girls or boys that God made you to be." And one of the daughters says, "How do you get to be that confident?" And this is the mother's reply. "Well, you focus on being the best Brooke Baxter that you can be." You can insert your own name there. "That means loving God and yourself and loving those around you, being kind even when others aren't, and at the end of the day, knowing that you did all you could to make this world a better place. That's where you put your time and effort. But you won't be perfect. No one ever is. That's where faith comes in. Faith that God is not finished with us yet. So before you come up for communion, I encourage you to take a minute to think about what makes you, you. How are you different from the person to your left or to your right? Then maybe take a minute to thank God for those differences, because they are what makes you special. And at the same time, you can thank the God that he is always working with us. He's not finished with us yet. So I invite you to come forward. Thanks. Last thing for you guys to think about is before you head home, although we do still have the ministry stuff to go. When I was thinking about the service and what we were going to talk about, I came across this image, which Judy's going to pop up, I think. And it's got three points to it. It says, look up, look out, and look in. So I want you to remember that image in your head. This is what you need to take away with you as you go into the week. So for look up, you could ask God to remind you about all the ways that he made you special and unique. You could write the words down or draw a picture of yourself just the way that God sees you. Then put it somewhere that you will see it. It can be a daily reminder of how special you are to God. For look in, being part of God's family means that we have lots of brothers and sisters to love too. God wants us to encourage and love one another. How could you be a faithful friend to someone from church this week? And look out. Think of someone who is often unnoticed or whose skills and talents are taken for granted. See if you can find a way to be a grace giver this week and to thank them. It could be someone within the church, or better still, someone out in the community. And I have one final thing for you to look at. This was a very last minute addition. A friend shared it with me on Friday, and I thought it fit really well. It says that God gave you a fingerprint that no one else has, so that you can leave an imprint that no one else can. Right, while you're thinking on that, I'm going to invite our three ministries forward. So as part of our family service, we like to be able to hear what's going on outside of the church, but as part of the church. And so we're very lucky to have Mainy Music, Playgroup, and the Kindergarten all associated with us. That brings in lots of different families into the church building during the week. Pretty much every day there's something happening. And a lot of the mums come, and it's a great support for them. They might not have a community outside, and so they make lots of friends coming in here. And so we're really lucky to have those three ministries. So we normally hear from the three ladies giving us an update on how their term's going, things that we could pray for them about, or how we could help them out. So I think we'll start with Deborah this week, this time, if that's all right, Deborah.
Join us. Another lady, Paula, who's moved from up Northland. She's very experienced and yeah, is another great addition. And then also Stacey, who's working part-time job sharing with Travis. And she used to be at Frankton Kindergarten, which some of you may have heard, but that closed at the end of last year. So it's been a real time of kind of them settling in, getting to know our families and children, and just getting, you know, becoming familiar with our kindergarten routines, the environment, and just, yeah, kind of consolidating as a new team. Part of that, we had a picnic for our families back in February now, I think. Feels a long time ago. Where we went to the Hamilton Gardens. The families bought their own dinner. It was just a nice, relaxed time to kind of catch up with each other in a different atmosphere. The families actually get to know each other a little bit, because often parents don't get to chat, you know, in the drop-off and pick-up time. It's fairly busy. So that was a nice start. And also just to interact with the teachers a little bit more, especially our new ones. So that was really good. So our Bible focus for this term has been on love. And of course, that kind of coming together with Easter at the end of the term. So we kind of have a theme for a term that builds on each week. The children hear a Bible story. They hear it for 5 days. So every day of the week, they hear the same story over and over and over again to consolidate their learning. And so they become really familiar. They hear it, they have it read from the Bible, and then it also gets maybe a YouTube clip, maybe they might act it out, so that it's in lots of ways so that they remember it. We started off, of course, celebrating summer and stories from what the children did over summer and holidays and that sort of thing, and we've kind of moved on to nature and the environment and insects. Which last week the children went on a trip to Pukemukemuke. So we hired a bus and they went out. We had lots of parent help, which we're really lucky to always get a good response, often many more than what we actually need. So we end up having to say, thanks, but we're getting too many now. So the kids had a great time. They collected lots of leaves and sticks and bits and bobs that they've brought back to kindy and are using to create and use in a variety of ways in their play as well. So yeah, those times are really cool to get out of the kindergarten and have fun experiences outside as well. So yeah, that's kind of us. We're just, yeah, it really is a term of consolidation, I guess, with our new teachers and just, you know, figuring out where our direction is for this year. Also, with new people comes changes in what and how we do things. So we're kind of doing lots of reviewing of, you know, the way that we plan, the way that we deliver things, and making sure that they feel like they're having some input into the way that the kindergarten runs, that they don't have to keep doing what we've always done because we've always done it. So, yeah, just lots of working together and building our team, which is good. We've got a group of children who will head off to school next term. So if you do know of anyone who may be looking at starting their children at kindergarten, we will definitely have some spaces coming available. So just something to kind of put out there. It would be good if we can fill them up nice and quickly. But aside from that, yeah, it's been a busy start. So thanks.
Thanks, Deborah. It's always cool to hear what the kindy's doing. I am done with the kindy days now that my girls are at school, but I do miss that kindy pick-up and drop-off where you got to see all the other parents and catch up with your friends. Anita, would you like to come? Anita's our Mainly Music Fearless Leader, and she's going to give us an update.
Move this one. Is that all right? Good morning. Oops, it's one bit taller. For those of you that weren't here at the last family service or who don't know me, I'm Anita Parkinson, the team leader of Mainly Music. I'm actively involved at Hillcrest Chapel, and we don't have Mainly Music at Hillcrest, so hence I'm involved here. So 2019 has started well for Mainly Music. We're continuing to have a consistent average numbers of around 15 to 20 families, which means that we get 35 to 40 people on any given Thursday morning. 2019 is also a milestone year for us. Chapel Hill Manor Music turns 20 this year. So we're going to be celebrating later in the year, but I just wanted to put that out there, and you can watch out for more details later in the year. This year, Valentine's Day fell on a Thursday. We don't normally do anything, but because it fell on a Manor Music day, we decided to take the opportunity to talk about God's love and remind people that actually God loves us all. Now, we used John 3:16 for that. I don't know if you've seen it, but you can actually write John 3:16 in such a way that it spells Valentine down the middle. So that's what we did. We printed out a card for them and kind of, you know, put a verse in their face, but said, actually, happy Valentine's Day. We gave them a little gift to go with that, and in that way made use of that event. The next one is Easter. That's coming up, and that's a big one for us at Manor Music. And it's always a challenge to know how to share and present this essential part of our Christian faith. How do we convey the message of the gospel in a simple yet true and meaningful way, using language and day-to-day imagery that our families are going to understand and relate to? Bearing in mind that, as Christine said, I think, we have around about 70% of people that come to Manor Music who are not Christian, not church in any way. So they're coming into this church building, they're paying to come into this church building, and then they're hearing our faith, and so they're hearing about God. So how do we do it at Easter? So this year we're following through a book called A Sign of Love. So it includes everyday signs that children will be familiar with, so a stop sign, the traffic lights. They may have seen a ducks crossing sign, you know, wait for the ducks. A rainbow, which obviously is a sign that God keeps his promises, and that's a sign of love. But the key message is the cross, so that the cross is a sign of God's love. So that's where we're going with Easter this year, hopefully in a way that they can understand and remember. So how can you support Manor Music as a ministry outreach of this church? Well, firstly, I want to say a big thank you to those who have already provided or offered to donate home baking for our adult morning teas. It's something that we do out of hospitality, and it's really important. So we really, really appreciate those that have already offered to do that. But there's always room for more volunteers on our morning tea roster. So if you want to contribute in that practical way, then come and see me or Christine, Shirley's here, Erin's here, any of the team. We'd love to hear from you about that. Thank you. And please pray with us as a team, but mostly for our families. It's our prayer that, especially leading up to Easter, that we'd have hearts that become softened, that they'd have ears and eyes opened, and that we can then answer those questions. Maybe they've got questions about Easter. Maybe they've got questions about God's love, and how do we do that? So if you'd join us in prayer, we'd really appreciate that, and so that we can have the opportunity to have some real and meaningful God conversations. That's what we call it when someone's got a question about something, about our faith. So we can do that at Manor Music or through Manor Music as we start to have relationships and connections with people. So that would be great if you could join us in prayer. Thank you. That's me.
Thanks, Anita. And lastly, we've got Lisa from Playgroup.
Right, I'm a little bit shorter. Thank you so much, Anita. I had a chat with Anita during the week, and you're so encouraging and just got my thoughts going again as well. Really cool. And so I'm going to start from the end of what I was going to talk about, Easter as well. You know, we only get a couple of opportunities a year that are really open and available to talk about our faith, and Easter and Christmas are those. So we've been thinking about things that we can do for Easter, and Philip's going to help me out, and hopefully some of you bakers are going to help me out. What we're thinking of doing is the empty tomb bun. So basically it's a marshmallow inside some dough, and once you cook it, the marshmallow disappears, and so you open it up and the tomb is empty. There's things about the butter, is like the oils and the spices that Jesus was anointed with. Yeah, I need some help with the dough because I want them to assemble it, not do the whole thing. But yeah, I'm getting quite excited about that. It's been a great term, a busy term. I think term one is probably always going to be a busy term, people wanting to do things with their kids this year and so on before everyone gets sick and life gets too busy. So we have currently Monday and Tuesday are really almost chocker, but we're trying to encourage people to come on Wednesdays. Wednesdays are still a bit quiet, and it would be really great to fill that up a little more. We've got about 18 families on the roll. Yeah, I'd really like to see some movement there. I don't know why Wednesday is not the day people come. I don't know if it's just busy for everyone and Monday, Tuesday suits best or quite what, or if there's a vibe on a Wednesday that isn't quite right, I'm not sure. So your prayers for that would be really great, thank you. We've been looking at ocean life. We've done some sharks and jellyfish and octopus with our crafts. We have had a bit of a focus on teddy bears. We went out to Woodlands this week for our term trip, and we had a good time, eh, Catherine? Yeah. We had a teddy bears picnic out there, got the parachutes out with the teddy bears on, and everyone did sort of the garden trail and so on, and it's just such a lovely place for people to have, like, got together and got to know each other better in a different kind of setting, and so safe for the kids and so much for them to explore. So that was really fun. I had about 30 families at that one. And we are starting to focus a little more on autumn and insects as well, like you, Deb. So it kind of, yeah, things follow a pattern, I guess. We've done lots and lots of water play, which I think I've said before I really love. So we've had floating and sinking and bubbles and pouring. And then the last couple of weeks, we've had quite a lot of fun tipping out the trough at the end and stomping in puddles and you can probably tell that excites me. I love water. We've got the chalk out. You would have probably noticed out here there were lots of drawings a few weeks ago all over the concrete, and the kids just had a blast with that as well. So thank you so much for this environment. And, yeah, just onwards and upwards, I guess. Rebecca and I have done a first aid course, so I had a day off there from my regular work, and this week I'm actually going to camp with one of my children for 2 days, catering for 107 people. My lovely committee are looking after things here for me as well. So, yeah, that's about it for playgroup. Thank you.
Cool, thanks, Lisa. I've asked David Hulse if he would be willing to come forward and just pray over the three ministries before the term continues. Thanks, David.
Thank you. Let's go. Thank you, ladies. Thank you that you're doing it and not me. I can compare myself with you, and I don't compare at all, thankfully. But this is an example of how God has made us, and each different. But we need to do what we can do to show God's love to people. And these ladies are leading us here by showing to the families of our area. Did you hear they say they had 30 families out at Woodlands? We don't have 30 families represented in here today. So we are contacting people outside in our church community, and we need to continue to show God's love to them. I want to pray for these ladies as they particularly lead up and particularly on impact and contact our community. Lord Almighty God, thank you that you have said we can call you our Father because you love us like a family. And I thank you for Lisa and Anita and Deborah and their leadership of these groups of preschoolers and their families that we have here based at Chapel Hill. And I pray you'd be especially with Lisa as she goes off to a school camp and has to cook for all these kids this week. Just be with her. And be with the playgroup committee as they carry on with that, and the helpers. Pray for Deborah and the teachers in the kindergarten as they adjust to each other and as they look to this whole way of showing God love to these people and introducing these families to God. And pray for Anita and the mainly music team as they seek to do that too, particularly coming up to Easter in a few weeks. Lord, help us to realize it's all our responsibility, or we each have a responsibility to show your love to people and to introduce people to you, our loving God, so that you can become their loving God too. Many people don't understand that God loved the world so much that he gave his son. And many of these families don't understand that. So I pray that you'd help this church to continue to reach out to its community. And I just pray for Lisa, Anita, Deborah, and all the rest of their teams as they are, in a sense, ahead of us reaching the community. I pray your real blessing upon them, that your Holy Spirit will be in them and in those groups and come into the lives of all those families, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thanks, David. I think we're pretty lucky as a church to have these three ministries that we can pray over. It's pretty cool. All right, I hope that as you go out into your week this week, that you'll remember that image of the clay and that God formed you. You can't be a ball of angry clay yelling at him that he did it wrong. You have to thank him for how he did make you, because you are each individual and you are very special. Let me just say a blessing, and then I hope that you will join us for morning tea afterwards. As we take our worship, praise, and prayer from this place and into our daily lives, may our lives be sustained through the love of our Heavenly Father. May we feel the presence of our Savior walking beside us and know the power of the Spirit in both our actions and our words. Amen.